Welcome to the Excel Pod. Welcome to Excel and Reflect. In a world that rarely slows down, this is your invitation to pause. Each week, together, we step away from the noise of life and lean into the stillness of God's Word, creating space to try to think deeply and meditate intentionally and reflect honestly on the words of God. Every episode centers on a specific biblical text or spiritual truth, not for surface-level reading, but for thoughtful engagement that allows God's Word to shape our lives. You see, this podcast is a place that, for only a few minutes, if you will, we can slow down, listen carefully, and try to be formed by the truth of Scripture, whether this is for personal devotion, a quiet meditation, or intentional reflection. So today, with me, as we begin our week, as we begin our day, take a breath, open your heart, and join me as we seek to excel in our understanding and reflect on the faithfulness and goodness of God. This is Excel and Reflect. Today's thought is entitled Normal, Whatever That Is. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25, the Hebrew writer wrote, "Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our body washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Today's reflection is a reflection about the assembly, the meeting of the church. I have a question. What is normal? For some, normal simply means routine, the comfort of things happening the same every day. For others, normal means adventure and spontaneity, living in ways that are outside of the ordinary. In truth, normal is often defined by personality. What feels normal to me may seem strange to you, and of course, vice versa. But that's why when we look back over the past year of our lives, the past month of our lives, some may describe it as normal, while others may see it as anything but. Yet when we speak of the church, there is a sense of normalcy that never changes. No matter what is happening in the world, God has designed his church to be consistent. The fellowship that we enjoy, the times that we meet being on the first day of the week, the worship that we offer, the work we engage in, these things are to remain steady because they are rooted not in tradition, but in God's teachings. But there's a challenge that we all face. In recent times, many have created for themselves and for their families a new normal that excludes active participation within the assembly. For some, assembling with the saints, working in the kingdom, and even engaging in fellowship has become optional. But that cannot be our new norm because Scripture is clear that God commands his people to come together, to assemble in order that we might encourage one another and serve one another and share life and spirituality together with one another, according to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. So as we think about this journey of connection, this journey of spirituality, this journey of the assembling together of the church, with which edifies and builds up and encourages, we must realize that the task before us is not simply to return to what feels familiar, but to return to what is good, to return to what is biblical, to return to what is life-giving. You see, the church's norm is not defined by convenience. Rather, it is defined by commitment. I love what the Apostle Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, when he lays out five attitudes that every Christian should embody within their life. And it's consistent of five words, the first word being the word harmonious, which describes our connection with one another. You know, Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, verse 21, that his followers would be one, just as he and the Father are one. And the early church would model this idea very beautifully in Acts chapter 4 and verse 32, where believers, the Bible says, were all of one heart and soul. You see, unity is not optional. It's expected, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. The second word that the Apostle Peter uses is the word sympathetic, which discusses the idea of how we feel for and with one another. You know, we are called to share in the joys and the sorrow of our brothers and sisters. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 3 would urge us even to remember and understand the suffering that both Jesus and our brethren may be going through. In fact, Jesus himself would even say in Matthew 25, 36 through 40, I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me, and whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. This is about care and sympathy and feeling for one another. How can we do that if we're not together? The third word that the Apostle Peter would use is the word brotherly, which gives off the idea or means treating one another as family. Peter also writes in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, to fervently love one another from the heart. You see, Christians are bound together as family, the family of God, children, heirs, according to Romans chapter 8. And that bond calls for a sincere and active love for one another. You see, Romans chapter 12, verse 10, and 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 8 would demonstrate that very idea. The fourth word that the Apostle Peter would use is the word kind-hearted, meaning how we treat one another. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, Paul calls us to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. The compassion of Christ should flow through every believer, and we need to experience that with one another. The final word that the Apostle Peter would use in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9 is really a phrase, humble in spirit, meaning to put others before ourselves. Paul urges the church to walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us in Ephesians 5 and verse 2. And the idea is that true humility places others ahead of self, following the example of Jesus. You see, the Hebrew writer, as he wrote about the encouragement that is offered within the assembly, cannot truly be understood or experienced without these five words, where Christians are around each other, building one another up in the Spirit of the Lord, encouraging one another to walk daily and walk ahead and have a vision for heaven and understand that God is actively involved in their life. It is so important that the assembly meet, that the church come together, that the body of Christ edify one another. You see, these things that the Apostle Peter has laid out, these are not optional attitudes. They are the attitudes of Christ. These things must become attitudes, therefore, of his people. And when Jesus asked Peter three times in John chapter 21, "Do you love me?" his charge was simple: tend my sheep. So if we love Christ, we must care for his church. So as we look ahead, let us not settle for a new normal that drifts from God's will. Instead, let us commit to God's kind of normal, which is encompassed by fellowship and service, unity, compassion, humility, and love. Each of us play a role, and together we can accomplish far more for the kingdom than we ever could apart. You see, kingdom thinkers are kingdom dwellers, and we all need to be dwelling together in love and work together for God's glory. Don't ever miss or separate yourself from the assembly of the church. Don't miss your opportunity to be encouraged. Don't miss your opportunity to be uplifted. Never miss your opportunity to be edified, because you need that. We need that. The church as a whole needs that. And so today, as we think about this idea of reflecting on what God has placed together, let us really consider the impact that the assembly can have on us as we gather together with other Christians to worship our God in spirit and in truth. As we close today's episode, take some time to carry this thought with you into the rest of your day and the rest of your week. Excel and Reflect is more than just a podcast. It really is an invitation to pause, to listen, and to let God's Word speak deeply into your life. So don't rush away from all that we have thought about today. Sit with it, think about it, and let it shape the way that you think, the way that you respond, and the way that you walk with God. Each week we'll return with another passage, another truth to consider, and another opportunity to reflect on how Scripture continues to form our hearts and direct our steps. Remember, alongside each episode, we'll also have written articles that will continue that reflection and allow you to take it with you and make notes on your own to dig deeper into these spiritual thoughts. I want to thank you today for joining me. And until next time, I hope that you'll keep your heart open, your mind focused, and your spirit attentive, and let's continue to excel and reflect together.